Evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Faithful Word Baptist Church. It's so nice to see you all here for our Wednesday evening service. If you'd all please find your seats now and take a psalm book, go to hymn number 209. We'll get started this evening. Hymn 209, Sunshine in My Soul. Hymn number 209. Once you find your place, we'll start on that first verse. There is sunshine in my soul today, more glorious than bright. Hymn number 209. Sing it out together now.
There is sunshine in my soul today, more glorious and bright than those in the earth's sky. For Jesus is my light, oh, the sunshine, blessed sunshine. In peaceful, happy moments born, when Jesus shows his light with me.
Together. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening and we thank you for the privilege that we have to be in church on this Wednesday night. We thank you for the safety you've allowed us to have to be able to be here. We just ask, Lord, your blessing upon us as we lift our voices to you in praise and worship, that you would help us focus on these songs and just set aside this time to worship you and praise your name and to open your word and learn from you. And we just ask that you'd fill Pastor with your Holy Spirit, that you'd fill him with power and unction, that he may preach boldly to us and that we may receive the message tonight, and that all that's said and done would give you the honor and praise that you deserve for it, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hymn 218, Hallelujah, 'tis done. Hymn number 218, we'll sing it out. On that first now, 'tis the promise of God, full salvation to give. Number 218, 218, sing it out now.
It's the promise of God for salvation to give. Unto him who on Jesus his Son will believe. Hallelujah, 'tis done. I believe on the Son. I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one. Hallelujah, 'tis done. I believe on the Son.
bulletin, go ahead and raise your hand, and the ushers will bring you a bulletin as soon as they can. If you have your bulletin, go ahead and open it up. On the upper left-hand side is our service times, and right below that is our church-wide soul winning, and at the very bottom is our salvations and baptism for the year. And if you go ahead and just turn it on the back, but also congratulations to the couples that have an anniversary this month. Obviously, we celebrated everybody's birthday on Sunday with Donut Sundays. But also on the back, go ahead and look at that. All families with students. Oh, we already did that yesterday's or on Monday. So if you missed out, you missed out. But reservation soul winning Friday, September 20th through Saturday, September 21st. This trip will feature a special time of recreation at Canyon de Chile. If you have any questions, Brother Raymond will be the point of contact for that. You can get a hold of him when he comes back from the missions trip that he has. And upcoming events are right there. Take a look at those when you get a chance. Also, ladies, all ladies and teen girls are invited to a baby shower in honor of Gabriella Jeffrey this Sunday, September 8th, from 2 to 4 p.m. here at the church buildings. Nurseries and children that are old enough to stay seated are welcome. If you are able to bring a dish to share, it will be appreciated. Gabriella is registered on Amazon, and please RSVP to Mrs. Chandler of, Avgolas. If you don't know who that is, Chandler, are you here? Going once, going twice. She is not. I don't know her email, but go ahead and just email faithfulword1@gmail.com, and I will send her a text for everybody who registers or who is going to come. Other than that, that's all I got for announcements. Let's count our soul winning for the week. If you got somebody saved on Monday, we'll start from my left-hand side. Go ahead and raise your hand. If you got somebody saved on Monday, I see one over here. Anybody else? I see one but right here in front of me. Any other salvations? What's that? 11. Any other salvations for Monday? Tuesday. Any salvations for Tuesday? All right. 15. I see some. One. Anybody else? One? I don't know why I had to do that. I got a mic. Me, Malo. All right. Anybody else? All right. And today, any salvations? I got one right there. We got two over here. Anybody else? Going once, going twice. All right, Brother Daniel, lead us in the next song.
All right. You should find the insert in front of your hymnal with the hymn entitled, We Have a Story to Tell to the Nations. If you don't have an insert, you can raise your hand. We'll sing it on that verse together. We have a story to tell to the nations that shall turn their hearts to the right.
Darkness shall turn to light.
comes out of hymn 295, Back to Bethel, hymn number 295, we'll lift it up on that verse. Back to the Bible, the true living word, hymn 295, sing it out now.
Back to the Bible, the true living word, seen as old story that ever was heard. Back to the joy life my soul longs to know. Bethel is calling and I must go. Back to Bethel.
Offering plates, and while we're passing out the offering plates, please turn your Bibles to Psalm chapter 9.
Psalm chapter 9, Bible reads, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. When mine enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. For thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou sattest in the throne, judging right. Thou hast rebuked the heathen. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast put out their name forever and ever. O thou enemy, destructions are come to a perpetual end, and thou hast destroyed cities. Their memorial is perished with them, but the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment, and he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in time of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Sing praises to the Lord which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings. When he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my trouble which I suffer of them that hate me, thou that liftest me up from the gates of death, that I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion. I will rejoice in thy salvation. The heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made. In the net which they hid is their own foot taken. The Lord is known by judgment which he executeth. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Hegeon, Selah. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. Selah.
Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
All right, Psalm chapter number 9. The verse that I want to focus on is verse 17. And before I read verse 17, I want to read something you guys may have heard about. It was in the news about 2 months ago, something very sad. So I'm going to just read something that I just printed from NBC News. It says this: two men have been charged with capital murder in the strangulation of a 12-year-old girl whose body was discovered in a shallow creek in North Houston. Who's happened to hear about this story by any chance? Horrible story. It was a 22 and a 26-year-old man. They were charged with capital murder of a child between 10 and 15 years old. And according to the authorities and court records, I'm not going to say the girl's name. It's a sad story. You can Google it if you want. But she was found at 6:15 a.m. Monday. And the Harris County Institute of Forensic Sciences determined she died by strangulation. This is a 12-year-old girl that was murdered by two adult men, a 22 and a 26-year-old man, that definitely know better. Definitely know better. And of course, stories like these are more and more common in this country. And you'll hear it more and more that it's because of this and it's because of that or whatever the case may be. But bottom line, it's because of wickedness. Amen? And I've heard stories that are even worse than this. And obviously, we have children here, and I'm not going to get all graphic. This is going to be a rated G sermon, G for godly. Amen? But I've had heard of worse stories, and I'll just share a quick one. This was something that they taught us or they told us about when I was in the academy back in California, how they responded to a house and they ended up finding a body of an infant that was thrown into the fire. And they didn't know it was an infant until later they ended up investigating a little bit more and they found out that it was a baby. And this is just how wicked mankind can get. And not just even that, they even told us of a man that broke into a house, beat the daylight out of the husband, and a knife point violated the wife in front of the husband while he's, you know, bloody mess on the ground. You know, this is just becoming more and more common. And this is like almost 10 years ago, almost 15 years ago. I don't remember the exact time when I was in the academy. That was one of the things that made me not even want to become a police officer. At that time, I was already saved. I was already going to independent, fundamental, King James, only soul winning Baptist church. You know, and I always wanted to be a police officer my whole life since I was a child. But in that situation, those stories, I just didn't really want to deal with that. And just halfway through, for that and many other reasons, you know, primarily missing church, I decided I'm not going to go into law enforcement. I finished the academy because then I changed, you know, my goal from being a police officer to a probation officer to try to help people out, try to get them saved, get them in church, get them going. You know, but these stories are out there, and you can read the Bible and find similar stuff in the Bible. You know, but in regards to these stories, I mean, they're heartbreaking. I can only imagine what that mom went through when she found out that her 12-year-old daughter was dead. And it's a hard thing to go through as a parent, and I hope nobody here ever goes through anything like that ever in their lives. So all I can tell you is stay right with the Lord. The angel of the Lord encampeth about them that fear him and delivereth them. God will protect us. We know that. You know, but I also want to just talk about a subject that most people don't really like talking about, but I'm going to talk about it in a different manner, in a different way. And if you ever want to know kind of like a small taste of what it may feel like to have something like this happen to your child where they get murdered by some psycho individual, just Google father confronts killer in court. There's more than one video where a father is just going off because the killer wants to claim that, oh, you know what, I'm psychotic, I'm crazy, you know, I'm having a mental breakdown, that's why I did what I did, but the father's not buying it, and we don't buy it. We know what they deserve. They can't be like, oh, you know, I'm mental, I'm crazy, I didn't know what I was doing. The dad in the video that I saw, you can feel the pain in his voice. It's like, oh, you murdered my son, now you want to act crazy, now you want to pretend you didn't know what's going on. It's like, you need to go to prison. You need to rot in prison, not in some psych ward, in some hospital, this Koshi. He wanted this guy to be punished, and that's what any normal person will want. Any normal person. Now, I'm not saying that I know exactly what that man went through, but I went through something similar. I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure I preached about this before, that my own father was murdered by, you know, our cartel. He worked for them, tried to get out. He knew too much. They ended up just pulling him over, dragging him out of his vehicle, throwing him in there, and we never saw him again. I wasn't there when it happened, but my aunt was there, and they spared her to send us a message. Don't you show your face around here anymore, and don't you ever think about coming down here, because if you do, we're going to kill you, your grandpa, your grandma, everybody who was still alive. They threatened that if me and my brothers ever show up, they're going to do something serious to all of our family, as many as they can find. Probably because they were afraid, because my father, he had a house in Mexico, and he had four sons, they all became Marines, and he was proud of us, and he put our faces on the wall, so maybe they thought that we had some kind of military connection, which we didn't, you know, but it was something that kind of struck me like, whoa, you know, what happened? And of course, you know, I'll go through a few emotions, you know, but you just move on, and praise the Lord, I was already saved, going to church, I was thinking spiritually, you know, and one of the things that I was thinking about was like, you know what, I hope these guys are not reprobates. I hope these guys somehow can get saved. I hope these guys have a chance, because you know what, Lord? I want you, if there's any chance these guys can get saved, do everything you can to get these killers, you know, of my father saved if you can. Because one thing I knew, if they don't get saved, I knew exactly where they were going to go, and that was enough to give me peace. Because if they're not going to get saved, if they're going to do rotten things like that, you know what? These people deserve to go straight into where? Hell. And that's what gave me the peace. So the title of my sermon is this: The Gospel of Hell. The Gospel of Hell. And we know that the Bible talks a lot about hell. We know that the Bible tells us where it's located, what it looks like, who's going there and why. And even more important, how to be safe from it. Amen? But this is not going to be that type of sermon. But you know what I would do? Is I would, if I could, talk to the mother of that 12-year-old, and you know what I would tell that woman? What happened to your daughter was horrific. 12 years old, that's unbelievable that they would do something like that to a 12-year-old. But I would just do my best to show this woman that, you know what? I want you to realize that even if these men are not punished, they don't get what they deserve, and we know what they deserve, an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Hey, they deserve to be strangled themselves and killed themselves, amen? But what I would tell this woman is simply this. Hey, listen, even if these guys don't get what they deserve, I want you to know straight out of the Bible that the Bible says this, and this is point number one in my sermon, the gospel of hell, is that the wicked, they shall be turned into hell. Amen? They will be turned into hell. And we know there's a lot of crazy individuals, and when I think about crazy individuals, I think of Jeffrey Dahmer. If you don't know who he is, Google him on your own time. But you know what? Even the stuff that they did print, I'm sure it was way more horrific. It's already horrific enough. This is a guy who killed 17 people. And he wasn't just a murderer, he was a cannibal. Not a cannonball, kids. He was a cannibal. So here's the thing about this man. Yeah, people can say, well, he murdered, you know, homosexuals or men. You know what? Excuse me if I don't believe this guy who not just murdered people, but ate them. I don't think that's too graphic for children to hear, because guess what? In the Bible, there were some people that ate other people. If you read it more than once, you probably would have came across those stories. You know, but this individual ended up murdering a 14-year-old kid. 14-year-old kid. I don't know what his orientation was, but I highly doubt it was what he claimed it was, which was, of course, a Romans 1 type of orientation. But the fact that this man murdered 17 people and then did worse than that, hey, that's like as wicked as it gets. And those people, they definitely deserve to be turned into hell. Amen? And you're right there in Psalms 9. Let's just read from verse number 16, where it says, "The Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Higgion Selah, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God." This is good news. Whether you believe it or not, that's what gospel means. It means good news. Whether you believe it or not, hell means fire. Not just fire, but fire that never shall be quenched. That's Mark 9:43. It says it's better for you to enter the kingdom of God one hand than having two hands to be cast into the fire. The fire that never shall be quenched. But of course, before it says fire, it says into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. And so if you keep reading, it says in verse 18, "For the needy shall not always be for God, and the expectation of the poor shall not perish forever." It says, "Arise, O Lord, let not men prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men." Selah. Go ahead and go to verse Psalms 11, just a couple more chapters to your right. Go to Psalm 11. And so what I want to talk about tonight is that, you know what? This world is crazy and it's going to get crazier. We need to understand that, hey, even if it gets crazy, even if, God forbid, we become victims of the Jeffrey Dahmers, hopefully that would never happen. God forbid we end up like those fathers who are confronting those killers in court. Hopefully that never happens. But if it were to happen, hey, just remember the precious promise that the wicked, they will be turned into hell. And that's a righteous thing. That's something that God wanted us to remember. When bad things happen in this world and it looks like we're not getting justice, maybe not in your lives, but I'm sure there's plenty of people like those fathers who felt like we're not getting justice. Why are we letting this guy live? It's an open and closed cage. He murdered my son in cold blood, shot him dead in cold blood. The guy is guilty. Why are we going to go put him in a hospital for the rest of his days? It doesn't make any sense. Of course it doesn't. And that's where we'll come in, because let's face it, how many of you guys out soul winning have had that individual that's confused? He's just confused by the Jeffrey Dahmers. We're trying to show him the gospel, talk about God, and they'll throw this one at you. Where if there is a God, why are there so many evil people in this world? Why are so many wicked people in this world? Who's had that individual yet? And you know what I'm going to give them? The gospel of hell. Well, you know what the Bible says? It says that the wicked. So guess what? The Bible, it matches reality. There's wicked people out there. And guess what it says? The wicked shall be turned into hell. Don't worry. God is just. Hey, God is patient. God is long-suffering. Don't you worry about that individual you're thinking in your head, sir. They will be turned into hell. They will get what they deserve. And hell is hell, everlasting fire, eternal punishment. They will suffer for all eternity for what they've done. But you better make sure you don't join them. Amen? And I'll tell you what, when I show somebody that, they're like, oh, wow. It's like, I always wondered. Wonder no more. There is a hell. God will send the wicked to hell. And you better take it to the bank that whoever it is that you're thinking of that's getting away with murder is not going to get away with murder. It's just not going to happen. Amen? You guys are right there in Psalms 11. Go to verse number 4. The Bible says, "The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold. His eyes let's try the children of men. The Lord tried the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence," like this 22 and 26-year-old, trust me, they didn't do that. They didn't strangle this 12-year-old girl because they were against violence. They strangled her because they love violence. They love to do those things. I just can't imagine the last second of this girl as she sees her killers taking her life away. I can only imagine the horror in her eyes. I can only imagine the thoughts in her heart. I can only imagine the pain she was suffering. And it seems like, man, these stinking pieces of trash are just going to be put in prison for the rest of their lives. It's like, you know what? I hope they get what they deserve. Well, that's not very loving. Well, let's keep reading. "But the wicked in him that loveth violence, his soul hated." Whose soul? God's soul. So if he hates it, we should hate it. I don't know if you ever heard of Reformers Unanimous or Anonymous, whatever it's called these days, but they had this one principle. If God's against it, so am I. That's what they would teach their addict/Christian church members. If God's against it, hey, so am I. And that's what we need to be. We need to be on God's program, on God's side. If he's against it, so are we. If he hates it, so should we. Amen? And what does it say? Upon the wicked, he who? He God. He shall rain snares, fire, and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. I'm sure that 12-year-old girl went through some horror, but hey, rest assured, little girl, these guys are going to go through worse horror, way worse horror than they even could put on any human being on this planet. And it says not just that, a horrible tempest, this should be the portion of their cup. Now, if you can, go to Romans chapter number 12, go to verse 19. Romans chapter 12, verse 19. Hey, when wicked people take power, when wicked people do crazy things, when wicked people are out to get us, I always say this, praise God, there's a God. Praise God, there's a God. Because if not, I would go crazy. I would go nuts. I would think I'm all alone. I would think all these people are out to get me. And next thing you know, I'll be in a rooftop with a high-powered rifle trying to take out an ex-president. But if that guy would have been told, don't worry about this dude. Yeah, he's done some crazy stuff, and it seems like he's getting away with it. But guess what? The wicked shall be turned into hell. And I'm sorry to bust your bubble, but Donald Trump, he's worthy of death for more than one reason. Biggest reason is adultery that I know of. I mean, isn't that worthy of death? Last time I checked? I don't know, but last time I checked, maybe the guy blew up some innocent people. Wasn't he all excited about the JDAM, the mother of all bombs, just blowing the crap out of quote-unquote terrorists? Call me crazy, but wasn't he the one that was in charge of doing the pullout with the Taliban, negotiating with them? Didn't he negotiate that pullout that didn't go so well? That cost the lives of Marines, that cost the lives of civilians, and then they blame it all on Biden. Last time I checked, didn't he start that mess? Didn't he give the exit date? Or is that just fake news? Call me crazy. And I'm not saying that that guy did what was right. No, because I'll cover it later. It ain't his job to go and start shooting people up that deserve to be put to death. It ain't. That's the government's job, and we'll get into that in a second. But obviously, what I've been saying so far doesn't sound very loving. And I know right there in Romans 12:9, it says this, let love be without dissimulation. In other words, don't let your love be fake. God wants us to be loving people. I get it. I got it. Good. But keep reading. Romans 12:19. What's it say? Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto what? Wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Vengeance is mine. Vengeance is his because guess what? He's the one that deserves to put out or execute vengeance on whoever deserves it. But we shouldn't be against vengeance. We shouldn't be against it whatsoever. And we know that God ordained the government to execute vengeance on those that deserve it, like this 22 and this 26-year-old. Why are these guys still alive? The evidence is clear. They confess it's time for them to go. Where? Straight into hell. So if you got your Bibles, go to the next chapter, Romans 13. Once again, for those on YouTube land, especially the haters that are going to chop me up, make me look crazier than I am, I just want to make sure if they ever have the guts to listen to the whole thing. I'm not saying that we should go around killing people. That's not our job, but it is the government's job to execute vengeance on those that deserve it. Let's quickly remind ourselves of that. Romans 13, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisted the power, resisted the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Without them, not be afraid of the power of do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. So whose job is it to go and execute wrath on behalf of God? It's the government's job. They have the right to do so. Hey, if man sheds man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. And this isn't a secret. This is something that's been there forever. Romans, I didn't write, is thousands of years old. Everybody knows the government has the power to put people to death, but the people that are in charge, they don't want to do it. And guess what? If they're going to take that responsibility, if they want to take that job, whoever's in charge of executing people, if they want to take that job, get paid to do that job, and they don't execute that job, they're going to be punished and not us. Amen? We don't have to take the law into our hands. And sometimes we want to, you know, because it is what it is. We're human, but we shouldn't. I don't want you guys to end up like Cain Velasquez. Who's ever heard of that guy? Cain Velasquez, former UFC heavyweight champion. For those that don't know what the UFC is, it's MMA, mixed martial arts, ultimate fighting championship. Hey, he just got 25 years this month, I believe. 25 years. For what? For not following Romans 13. What was he trying to do? Well, his son got molested at a daycare. I don't know if you guys know that. His son got molested at a daycare, so guess what he did? If anybody deserves to get off on temporary insanity, it should have been Cain. Because then he took the gun, went after the guy, chased him in his vehicle for who knows how long, and starts firing at the guy while they're on the freeway. Just starts firing at the guy trying to kill the pedophile. Well, he didn't hit him, but he hit his dad. His dad was driving. And of course, are they worthy of death? Are pedophiles worthy of death? Absolutely, all day long. All day long. But do we have the power to go and execute? Should we? Absolutely not. We don't. We already saw Romans 13. That's for the government. It's their job. So Cain took it upon himself to go and try to kill this guy. And he probably thought in God's eyes he's justified. But is he really justified? No, he's not. And you guys are faithful word. You guys are well-educated people, right? This is the Harvard of Baptist churches, amen? Amen. Pastor preaches like a machine. 1,500-plus sermons, and he hasn't broke a sweat. So I can't teach you guys anything really new. This is just reminders of what I believe is something we should think about more and more and give hope to the world. Because I saw like almost 30 hands of people who said, hey, I had that guy who was confused. Like, if there's a God, what's up with all this craziness going on? What's up with all these people murdering? What's up with all this insanity going on in this world? You know, all these crazy individuals, if there's a God, would he let that happen? Nope. It says right there, those wicked people, they're going to be turned into hell. Amen. But not just that. If you guys can, go ahead and go to Luke. Go ahead and go to Luke. Sometimes it may feel like, man, what's going on? God, what's going on? You know, why aren't these people already being punished like they should? You know, we see this individual and that individual, and we clearly know that these are evil individuals. Why do they live so long? Why are they still alive? And if I were to ask people, who do you think is the most wicked, oldest person on the planet? I'm sure all of you guys can give me an answer. I'm pretty confident about that. But we need to remember that God's timing is perfect. God's timing is perfect. He will execute. Don't get crazy. Don't get out of control. Don't act like, oh, man, this guy's been so wicked so much for so long, destroying our nation for so many years. Why is this guy still breathing? He's so old. Man, it seems like God doesn't even remember this man, but he does. We just have to remember that God's timing is perfect. Let's take a look at Luke 18. And I hope nobody has ever gone through anything insane as to what happened to that 12-year-old or even anything remotely like it. But we know that it has happened. And as best we can, when we come across those individuals, we got to give them hope. And they may think, these pieces are trash. They did this to my son. And it's probably worse in other countries like South Africa, where they get away with murder just about every single day over there. But are they really getting away with murder? Absolutely not. But one thing I would tell a victim of some psychopath who took out their child's life or, you know, took their child's life is I would say, listen, God's timing is perfect. These people will be turned into hell. They will suffer a horrible, horrible fate, and they will be punished for all eternity. Right there in Luke 18, it says this, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in the city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversaries. And he will not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest her by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on earth? Bottom line is, hey, people are going to do what's wrong. You're going to see evil on the NBC News or whatever news you check out. Hopefully you don't check out too much news. Something crazy is going to happen. You know, something that you think is just, oh, this is horrible. You know, they might be swearing in President Kamala Harris. Who knows what'll freak any Christian out. But at the end of the day, we can see that God, hey, he will avenge us. He will protect us. And don't worry, he just wants to see faith on earth when he returns. Just stay faithful. Don't focus too much on, hey, this person should get this, this person should get that. Lord, what is going on? This person is ruining our country. This person destroying this person destroying that. Hey, you know what? Just worry about being faithful. Just worry about being faithful, and God will avenge you and avenge you speedily. So the gospel of hell is simple tonight. Number one, the wicked, the most wicked person, that individual you despise, that individual you wish would just die tonight, hey, don't worry about that individual. If he's a child of the devil, guess what's going to happen to him? He will be turned into hell. But not just that. Hey, guess what God's going to use hell for? Number one, we already know that the wicked shall be turned into hell. But guess what? This is one I like to remind myself of, and I like to remind kids about. Number two, the wicked one shall be turned into hell. Amen? The wicked one shall be turned into hell. Go ahead and go to Matthew 13 if you can. Go to Matthew 13 as fast as you can. I'm going to read from Ephesians 6:12. Famous verse. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And that is the enemy. Matthew 13 says this, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. Go ahead and go to verse 37 right there in Matthew 13. Go all the way to verse 37. It says, and he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, and the tares are the children of the wicked one. And who's the wicked one? Satan, the devil. The enemy that sold them is the devil. And why is this important to remember? Because I don't know about you, but I know the person behind everything is the devil. And I can't believe sometimes that the devil has this world as crazy as he does. And I'm sick of it. I'm sick of how he has this world turning boys into girls, girls into boys, horrible operations that just mess them up for the rest of their lives. I'm sick of seeing all this wickedness, but at the end of the day, who's behind it all? The devil. And don't forget, one day, guess what's going to happen to the devil? He's going to be turned into hell. Maybe that doesn't excite you, but it does me. And here's why. 2 Corinthians, you guys can go to Isaiah. 2 Corinthians 4:3 says this, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and who the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. At the end of the day, that's the enemy. At the end of the day, let's look at that guy first. At the end of the day, let's get angry at him as well. At the end of the day, hey, have peace of mind that God one day will send that individual straight to hell. And where did I tell you to go, Isaiah? And the best part is, we'll get to watch. I'm not sure about you, but I can't wait to spit in the face of the devil. Hopefully I can pick up a rock and just hit him with it before he gets cast into the lake of fire for all eternity. I can't believe y'all never thought of this. Seriously? All the misery that I've gone through, all the pain, all the sadness, I blame it on that guy, and I can't wait to take my aggression on him. I just can't wait. Maybe you guys don't care, but I do. Me and Satan, we got an appointment. And he ain't looking forward to it at all. Let's see. Isaiah 14 says this, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in his heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mountain of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Here's my favorite part. yet thou shalt be brought down to hell. Hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall never look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? So when you get crazy because Kamala is going to be president or whoever is going to be president or whatever, at the end of the day, those offices, they bend the knee to the devil and his will. That's the guy who's really in charge. So it doesn't matter who your favorite politician ends up running the show. They all bow the knee to the devil. You cannot get that high up there without the devil, the god of this world, approving it all. So there's nothing really to get excited about. Just remain faithful like Jesus says. Will there be faith on the earth? Don't worry. Hey, whoever is in power, God will protect us against that individual. Last time I checked, maybe for some of you it didn't, but under Biden, all that crazy talk, I didn't really see it. The Republic. If he ends up being president, this is going to happen, that's going to happen, whatever's going to happen. I don't know about you, but I lived in my own little Goshen for the last 4 years. How about you? I was perfectly fine and happy, and guess what? That old man got worse and worse and worse, and my life got better and better and better. Amen. That's why he dropped out. So at the end of the day, there's nothing to worry about, and there's no one to fear but who? God himself, the one that can destroy both soul and body in hell. And I'm 23 minutes in. Don't worry, I'll wrap it up. I know you guys are tired. It's a Wednesday night. Y'all work hard and showing up all faithful. Look at you. You know, when the Lord returns, he will see faith on the earth. He's going to see faithful word on a Wednesday night. That's what I got to say. But let's take a look really quickly. If you can, go to Psalms 146:9. Psalms 146:9. While you go to Psalms 146:9, I'm going to read from Romans 16:20. This is why I want you guys to hear this, even though this is nothing new. Because I know what happens during election day or election time. I know what happens. Maybe not here, because we don't really care. We're focused on souls. We're winning people to Christ. But we know other churches. We know what really happens in those churches. They start going crazy. They start freaking out over whoever's going to be president, which I don't know about you, but I could care less, because I know at the end of the day, it's the devil that's running the show, and you cannot kick him out. He's the god of this world. This world belongs to him, but guess what? It's leased, not owned, and its lease is almost up. Then it's going to come back to us, and we're going to be the true owners one day. Amen? Just be patient and have faith. And why? Here's why. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet. I love this word. Shortly. Shortly. Are you sick of how crazy the world's getting? I am. I'm like, man, this world's getting crazier and crazier. It's crazy how things are happening, you know, all over the world. But be at peace. The devil who's behind it all, hey, he's going to be bruised shortly. Maybe not 1,000 years from now. Who knows? Who cares? But God says shortly is going to be quicker than you think. Right now, maybe it feels a little slow, and you can't wait for God to speed up the end time calendar so we can all be rejoicing in heaven in front of the angels, right? But we got a lot of people to save in the meantime. Yes or no? So we already saw number one, that the wicked shall be turned into hell. Number two, the wicked one shall be turned into hell. But also, don't forget, even though we look around and we see things that just should make us sick, we should get offended. Here's what the Bible says, that the way of the wicked shall perish. It's going to be over one day. All the stuff that's ungodly, like name some stuff. I'll name one to get you started. Evolution. I'm sick of that. I'm tired of this stupid doctrine. It's a religion. It's a religion that attacks God, has nothing to look forward to, and causes guys to go on top of roofs with a high-powered rifle trying to take, you know, the world into his own hands. I'm not saying he was an evolutionist, but he had no hope. He might as well have been one. But let's just be honest. You know, what else is out there that offends us? Like, what offends you? Sodomites. What else? Jews. Laziness. What else? Come on. What else? Kids staring at iPods. God's going to burn them all. What else? I'll tell you, what? Abortion. Amen. That's a good one. That's a good one. What else? You're smiling. I know you have something in your head, but I'm not going to put you on the spot. But I'll throw this one out there. I'm sick of Hollywood movies using God's name in vain. I.e., Deadpool and Wolverine. I haven't watched it, but I've heard people have watched it. And I don't know about you, but just the trailer is enough to make me sick. It uses God's name in vain, says Jesus Christ who knows how many times. And just in case you don't know, this version of Deadpool, what's the guy's name that plays Deadpool? What's his name? Ryan Reynolds. This version of Deadpool, in case you don't know, is pangender. His version is pangender, a.k.a. homosexual. His version of Deadpool's homosexual. I don't know about the comics. I don't know if he was a homosexual in the comics, but Ryan Reynolds' version, in case you don't know, for those that watched it, you probably noticed that he acted a little bit fruity, didn't you? Didn't you? He used jokes that were perverted, that were homosexual jokes. And it is what it is. I'm just sick of that crap. It just comes up. I'm like, what is this about? Let's see what's going on. Good night. The trailer had F-bombs all over the place. Disney went rated R. It's a Disney flick. But I'm sick of that. What else are you guys sick of? That's enough, right? Well, guess what that's known as? It's known as the way of the wicked. The way of the ungodly. What do I mean by wicked? I'm not, obviously, we all do wicked things. We know that we're not perfect. What does the Bible say? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. But when I'm talking about wicked, I'm talking about wicked. I'm talking about people strangling 12-year-olds. I'm talking about people brainwashing children to get operations they shouldn't be getting. I'm talking about people that are pushing, like you said, the LGBT agenda, trying to make everyone bow the knee to that. I'm talking about unjust wars, people that are behind unjust wars. It's funny how you got these guys, you know, pretending like they really don't know what to do when they know what to do. What is it, Piers Morgan? You guys know who that guy is? How many people has he interviewed? Like, what should Israel do? What should they do? They have the right to defend themselves. Well, last time I checked, didn't the, you know, whatever they want to call it, the Torah, didn't it talk about how the children should not be punished for the sins of the fathers? Isn't that somewhere in the Bible? I mean, last time I checked, shouldn't you go after the people that are guilty, i.e. an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth? Isn't that something they should know? Yeah, I mean, shouldn't they just beef up a little bit more security and be better prepared next time instead of just going full-blown and bombing the living daylights out of innocent people, innocent civilians? And even then, hey, Israel, let's just say you don't catch Hamas. What does the Bible say? That Hamas shall be turned into hell. But don't forget Israel and all nations that forget God, i.e. the true God, i.e. the Son of God. So they can go ahead and do what they want, but at the end of the day, they are committing that sin, that abomination that God has, you know, hands that shed innocent blood. True? And I'm sick of what they're doing over there. But you know what puts me at peace? Like it says right there, the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Satan's going to get it because he's behind it. He has minions that are following him, doing his will, bowing down to what he wants. And what he wants is destruction. What he wants is murder, bloody murder. That's what he wants. Yes, Hamas did what they did, but at the end of the day, 1,200 versus 20,000 or more? It's like, where's your God at, Israel? Is he not strong enough to protect you from this point on? Instead of being like, yo, hey, let's go kill, kill, kill. Why not, hey, we're not going to go kill innocent people. You know, yes, we got a manhunt for whoever did it, whatever. It's facts that, hey, you shouldn't be killing just anyone because of what these people did. Go find them. Go catch them. Oh, you can't? That's where faith comes in. They should have the peace. What's the name? Benjamin Nathan whatever. He should be like, yo, I have the peace that, hey, we're not going to go in there and kill innocent people. It's not worth it to us. You know, they want war. We'll make it hard for them to do this again. If we don't get him, old age is going to get him. Isn't that something that they should have learned from King David when Saul was out to get him? He's like, hey, we can kill King Saul now. He's like, no, I'm not going to touch the Lord's anointed. Either God will punish him or he'll die of old age. Where's that attitude in Tanayu? Either God will punish Hamas or they'll die of old age and they'll go to hell because according to them, it's two different religions, right? Wouldn't you not do what they're doing if you truly believed in your God? How big is their God? Apparently not big enough that they need big bombs to go do his job and punish the wicked doer. But you'll see a few verses that say this. The way of the wicked, the way of the wicked. Psalms 146:9. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He reliveth the fatherless and widow, but the way of the wicked, he turneth upside down. What else does it say? I'll just read this. If you can, you can go ahead and meet me in Matthew 13. Matthew 13. I'm about ready to wrap it up. Proverbs 12:26 says this. The righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduces them. The way of the wicked. Obviously, whatever's ungodly. The way of the wicked. What is that? Watching things that we shouldn't watch, listening to things that we shouldn't listen to. You know, it's seducing. I get it. I understand. You know, but at least confess it and forsake it. What I mean by that is confess it and forsake it if you spend God hard-earned money to go watch the Wolverine and whatever the heck, the Deadpool dude or whatever, the pangender dude, the fruity dude. And if you don't believe me, it doesn't take a genius to Google, you know, Deadpool pangender. The LGBT community was complaining that he wasn't gay enough. They were mad that Ryan Reynolds didn't make Deadpool gay enough. It's like, good night. I just saw like a few scenes and he's being grabbed in ways he shouldn't be grabbed. And he's making it clear that he's a pervert in that movie. You know, in the LGBT community, it's like, yeah, you made him gay, but not gay enough. Like, what? Isn't this a Disney movie? What in the world? But it's like it says, it seduces us, right? But we need to be stronger than ever because guess what? This girl that got strangled, hey, guess what? If you look at scripture, it is what it is. Sometimes the sins of the parents are going to affect the children. And I don't know what the mother was thinking, letting that 12-year-old just wander around. I don't know the story. I try to look into it. Hey, I guess they just didn't want to touch it. But it's a horrible ending to that girl's life because, hey, the way of the wicked seduced her and she thought it was cool to just be out there with the daughters of the land. We need to be a little bit better than that. So nothing bad happens to us. And listen, safety is of the Lord, but I say it all the time. The Lord doesn't want us to be stupid. He just doesn't. You know, he doesn't bless stupid. And if you're going to go around and be a foolish individual, you know what's going to happen? God's going to say, hey, we're just going to let him whatever. You know, just leave him alone. I won't protect him because the thought of foolishness is sin. How much more is the action? Amen? So we got Proverbs 15:9. The way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord. And, of course, we can look at everything that we know top of our heads as far as an abomination. Like Brother Madison said, abortion, you know, that's an abomination. How do we know? It's right here in Proverbs 6:16. Don't go there. I'll just read it. These six things that the Lord hate. And before we get all crazy and we all start thinking, yeah, you know what? Those people, yeah, they're evil. They're evil. They're disgusting, this and that. Let's just take heed because there's a lot of things that make God upset. And I'll just remind you guys of the six that make him upset here in Proverbs. These six things does the Lord hate. Hey, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift and running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Last time I checked, it's a blessing to be a peacemaker, right? Let's just focus on being that individual. We're supposed to have charity, correct? Above all things, and what does it say about it? It says that it's kind. Are you that individual that's kind? Are you that individual that's a peaceful individual? Are you that individual that, you know, speaks kindly to others? Then guess what? You're doing a great job. Keep it up. And for the rest of us, if we're not known for that, we need to just work on it. Just tell God to help you with whatever it is that you need help with, and I'm sure he'll step in. And in case you forgot, hey, the Bible says this in Jeremiah 10:2, Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven. Obviously, we shouldn't even bother to try to learn from the heathen when it comes to evil stuff. Anything else, hey, it is what it is. We can learn from people that are unsaved. But when it comes to certain things, especially when they attack the Lord, hey, those individuals should be cut out of your life. And you just, you know, do better than just to listen to people that you can clearly tell hate the Lord. Like Andrew Tate. Is that his name? Andrew Tate. That's the main guy who keeps talking about God, keeps talking about Allah and whatever. Why? Because he went from being a Christian to just despising the Lord to the fullest, and now he wants nothing to do with him, and he went to what? Islam. And that is new grift now. He's telling all Christians should become Muslims. But his brother, what is he doing? He's remaining a Christian, but he's not even a Christian himself. People say, hey, there's probably hope for him. Probably not if you heard what he's done. But let's just wrap it up. Another reminder, you guys are right there in Matthew 13. Just a quick reminder in Psalms 1. Psalms 1 says this, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, and this also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Why? For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish, and that shall help you rejoice. Why? Because there's going to come a day. I'll just read it from Malachi. It says, for behold, the day cometh. This is one of the verses I used to motivate myself to knock more doors. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. So next time you're at the door and they're like, what are you doing here? Why are you knocking on my door? Can't you read the sign? I just don't want you to burn like an oven. What do you mean? Because the day's coming that's going to burn like an oven. And I don't know when was the last time you stuck your hand near an oven, but it's painful near an oven. Not even in the oven, just outside the oven, walking by an oven. Mrs. Anderson, she has a pretty big oven, nice oven, right? Hey, it's pretty warm, right? She's like, yes, sir. So think about it. I don't want my friends, neighbors, families, or family to end up burning like an oven. But it's going to happen. Whether you like it or not, it's going to happen. That day is coming where everything that offends you, everything that offends God, that's your little Deadpool movie. That's your little rock and roll music. That's your little Christian rapper. All these guys that offend God, that offends you, you know, I'm happy that it's all going to be burned one day. I don't have to look at it anymore. I don't have to think about it anymore. This is going to be a good day for me. I don't know about you. So what is the gospel of hell? That the wicked are going to burn, that devil and his angels are going to burn, and all this stupid crap that offends us, all these rainbow flags all over the place, whatever it may be that offends you, that upsets you, all those things are going to be gone one day, and I look forward to that, and that is some gospel right there. Amen? Amen? All right, let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Father, we thank you so much for all that you've done. Lord, obviously, I love our people. Our people are great people. I truly believe this is the best church in the world. But by all means, we want every church that we know, all NIFB churches, to be the best churches in the world. Who cares who's first? We just all want to be the best because, Father, we want to help other churches to also be the best so we can go out there and do the best job for you. And, Father, I just ask you to bless everyone here for being here, you know, meet their needs. You know their needs better than I do. And I ask you to do all this for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. If you need the psalm book for the BIBLE, it's 467. We'll sing it twice and be dismissed. BIBLE 467.
The BIBLE, yes, that's the one.